Well, the Florida State Seminoles can expect to move up when the Associated Press football poll is released today. Freshman DeAndre Francois threw for 419 yards, and the fourth-ranked Seminoles scored 23 unanswered points in the third quarter to turn a 28-13 halftime deficit into a 45-34 win against number 11 Mississippi. Freddie Stevenson and Kermit Whitefield scored on short runs, 205 apart, to put FSU ahead 29-28 midway through the third period. Francois added his second TD pass of the night later in the quarter to give the Seminoles an 8-point cushion. Freshman Ricky Aguayo converted an FSU record 6 field goals on 6 attempts, breaking a mark shared by his brother Roberto. Elsewhere in college football news, LSU has suspended offensive lineman Josh Boot for one game after his late hit Saturday in the final minutes of the Tigers' loss to Wisconsin. Boot leveled Dakota Dixon while the Wisconsin defensive back celebrated his victory-clinching celebration. Former Southern Cal head football coach Steve Sarkisian is joining Alabama's coaching staff as an analyst. Sarkisian was fired by USC in October after the school says he showed up in no condition to lead practice. That followed an embarrassing appearance at a pep rally where he appeared intoxicated while giving a speech. Crimson Tide coach Nick Saban says Sarkisian knows the consequences that he'll have to deal with professionally if he has any issues or problems. Iowa State football coach Matt Campbell says the Cyclones have moved on from this week's 64th, meeting in the series against Iowa. The Cyclones are looking to bounce back from a season-opening 25-20 loss to Northern Iowa.
Whether you win or lose, you got to flush it. And you got to be prepared to come back the next day, and you got to go to work. And I thought our kids, for the most part, handled that. You know, we've got some really good leadership, guys like Mitchell Myers and some guys that, you know, really stood up and said, hey, listen, this is where we're going, this is what's happening. And when you have some of that within your own walls rather than the coach always saying that, then I think that becomes real.
It'll be Campbell's first taste of the rivalry with the Hawkeyes.
Do you talk about that with your kids? You absolutely do. Because I think you're at fault if you don't. And, you know, it's something we've talked about really from the day that I've gotten here through spring practice at times. And obviously, as we get in and prepare for this game, you certainly talk about those things. So I've got a great deal of respect for their program, what they've done, but to also know this is a great rivalry game and something that we're lucky to be a part of.
Campbell says the Cyclones need to focus on getting better and not playing up their role as an underdog.
We made our bet a little bit last Saturday in terms of, you know, whatever the betting line is or whatever, you know, what everybody's belief is. So, you know, again, that's where our focus has to go way back on us than what everybody outside of our walls are saying. And, you know, the reality of it is we got to continue to get better. We've got a lot of work to do. We know that. And we put our focus towards us, and then Saturday will be here before you know it.
Campbell has some history he can show his team. 2 years ago, the Cyclones opened with a loss to North Dakota State, and 2 weeks later beat the Hawkeyes 20-17 in Kinnick Stadium. And in 2007, the Cyclones lost to UNI 24-13, and the very next week they beat Iowa 15-13. Now, a decision Campbell and the Cyclone coaches must make this week is how often they'll throw in the direction of Iowa All-American cornerback Desmond King.
You know, I think those are things that we've got to have a great understanding of where he's at within the football game, where he aligns, and do a great job of, if we want to attack him, what gives us the best opportunity to attack him. But I think a great player like that, you don't want to give that guy too many opportunities to change the game.
Well, this will be the first time Cyclone senior center Brian Bobek has played in this game, but it's not his first involvement in a rivalry with the Hawkeyes. Bobek played at Minnesota before transferring to ISU. He says while the Cyclones have moved on, they've not forgotten about the mistakes that cost them on Saturday. Iowa State quarterback Joel Lanning says he looks forward to the game.
It's going to be fun. I mean, it's what we live for. I mean, as football players, you know, going into other stadiums and trying to win games. And you know, it's just been a fun game to be a part of. I've never played in it, so it's going to be very fun. You know, I know what the game is like, you know, seeing it from the sidelines in the past few years, and it's a very intense game.
Lanning says the Cyclones will bounce back from the loss to UNI. We'll have that game for you live here on the Hawkeye Network on Saturday. Pregame at 4:30, kickoff set for 6:30 on Saturday. Well, Chiefs coach Andy Reid says running back Jamaal Charles is a stretch to play in their season opener against the San Diego Chargers following surgery last season to repair the ACL in his right knee. Reid acknowledged yesterday that the four-time Pro Bowl selection is still not ready for game action, even though he's been practicing for several weeks. Charles did not play in any of the preseason games. The Chiefs kept Niall Davis as their third running back behind Sharkhandrick West and Spencer Ware over the weekend, giving them insurance if Charles is unavailable. The trio filled in quite admirably when Charles was hurt in a Week 5 loss to the Chicago Bears. In other NFL news, rookie Carson Wentz will start at quarterback when the Eagles take on Cleveland in their NFL season opener Sunday. The second overall pick in the draft was named the starter over Chase Daniel just 2 days after Philadelphia dealt Sam Bradford to Minnesota. Daniel will be the backup. He signed a 3-year, $21 million contract in the offseason to play behind Bradford and mentor Wentz. Texans defensive end J.J. Watt will play in the team's season opener against the Bears on Sunday. Watt has been sidelined since back surgery in July and was activated from the physically unable to perform list on Saturday. Chargers rookie defensive end Joey Bosa watched Monday's workout with his left leg wrapped as he walked with a slight limp. While the injury isn't considered serious, it does call into question Bosa's status for Sunday's opener. Well, just two games separate the top three teams in the American League East after the first-place Toronto Blue Jays lost for the third time in four games. Jacoby Ellsbury had three hits and three RBIs to back Masahiro Tanaka as the New York Yankees topped the Blue Jays 5-3 yesterday. Yankees stay within 3.5 games of an AL playoff berth with that victory. Toronto maintained its one-game division lead when second-place Boston suffered a 2-1 loss at San Diego. Baltimore is within two games of the AL East lead after Chris Davis homered and collected three RBIs in the Orioles' 7-3 win at Tampa Bay. Baltimore and Detroit continue to share the final AL wildcard slot after Justin Upton crushed a tie-breaking three-run homer in the 11th inning of the Tigers' 5-3 triumph against the White Sox yesterday. The Tigers are within 4.5 games of the AL Central leading Indians after Alex Bregman smacked a two-run homer to help the Astros end Cleveland's six-game winning streak 6-2. Franklin Gutierrez was 3-for-4 with a solo shot and four RBIs as Seattle hammered Texas 14-6. Colorado added to San Francisco's recent woes as Carlos Gonzalez belted a grand slam in a six-run third inning that carried Colorado's 6-0 rout of the Giants. The Giants are four games back of the NL West leading Dodgers and just a half game ahead of St. Louis for the league's first wildcard berth. Los Angeles belted five homers off former Dodger Zach Greinke to build an 8-0 lead and a 10-2 pounding of Arizona. The Cardinals crushed the Pirates 12-6 to stay in sole possession of the National League's second wildcard slot, one game up on the Mets. Winning pitcher Adam Wainwright was tagged for four runs and seven hits in five innings, but he also went 2-for-3 with three RBIs as part of the Redbirds' 14-hit attack. The Mets won for the 12th time in 16 games as Bartolo Colon combined with three relievers on an 8-hitter in a 5-0 shutout of the Reds in Cincinnati. Washington was a 6-4 winner over Atlanta to retain an 8.5-game lead over the Mets in the National League East. The Cubs' 7-2 romp at Milwaukee reduces Chicago's magic number to 10 for winning the National League Central. Freddie Galvis hit a 2-run homer and Jared Eichhoff allowed two runs over six innings in Philadelphia's 6-2 win against Miami. Albert Pujols, Jeffrey Marte, and Nick Buss drove in two runs each to carry the Angels past the A's 10-7. And Brian Dozier's three homers weren't enough for Minnesota as the Royals got three-run blasts from Kendry Morales and Eric Hosmer in Kansas City's 11-5 trouncing of the Twins. In golf, Rory McIlroy roared back from six shots off the pace in the final round to win the Deutsche Bank Championship. McIlroy shot a 6-under-65 to earn his first victory of the year in the second of four FedEx Cup playoff events. Paul Casey started the final round with a three-shot lead but could only manage a 2-over-73, and that left him in second place two shots back. Casey was looking for his first PGA Tour win in 7 years. That's a look at sports this hour, brought to you by Atlantic Medical Center Pharmacy. For all of your pharmaceutical needs, stop by your Atlantic Medical Center Pharmacy, your Health Mart provider. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.